This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Resource Center. The COVID-19 pandemic has undoubtedly shaken up the world, with travel and tourism a major global growth driver, accounting for 10% of the world's economy, one of the hardest hit industries. The outbreak has in its wake created severe domino effects in the ecosystem. Not only the major airlines or chain hotels affected, but also the 80% of the tourism sector made up of smaller accommodation providers, plus the peripheral services associated with tourism, including F&B, cleaning service providers, local tour guides and transportation, and the list can go on. With the World Travel and Tourism Council's latest forecast that up to 75 million jobs will be at risk, it begets the question, is the industry going to recover? I'm here with Timothy Hughes, Vice President, Corporate Development of Agoda, to talk about possible green shoots. Let's see. Nice to be speaking to you, Tim, out in Bangkok. Before we even get there, what's been happening with Agoda this year?
Well, look, for everybody in travel, this has been the worst year in anyone's memory.
Right.
And it's, you know, travel is a very human experience. The people who work in travel, it's dominated by people. The people who consume travel, it's people. It's a very people experience. So let's talk about emotions. It's been a really tough time for everybody in the travel industry. But at the same time, we have experienced in the past shocks before. Nothing like this, nothing at this scale.
Mm-hmm.
But the travel industry has gone through Mars and SERS. It's gone through 9/11. It's gone through bombings in London, in India. We've gone through volcanoes. We've survived all sorts of tragedies.
Mm.
Nothing at this scale, but we know that these are things that are survivable because we know that humans love to travel. And no matter what happens, that desire of the human to get over the next hill, to go to the next beach, to climb the next mountain is unstoppable.
Right.
So as tough as it is, we know that the traveller always comes back.
Right. It's just when we'll be allowed.
And how. Exactly. Right. And we also have a little bit of experience of the how, because we know that when a big shock like this happens, the first trips people take are very close to home. The drive market, the train market, that sort of 3 hours, 4 hours from home is the first trip people take. So we sort of knew, we said, okay, this is the worst we've seen, but we think the pattern will be the same. That when the people of KL, of Bangkok, of Ho Chi Minh City, of Sydney, when they start to take their first trips out, they're going to do it three and a half hours away from home. And so we can start to prepare the groundwork for when that demand is ready. We can start to work with hotels and accommodation providers in that sort of drive circle, and we can start to get them ready for when demand comes back. And so we could sort of kick off that playbook, kick off that plan early on in this crisis, not knowing when it's going to end, not knowing how it was going to end, but knowing that when it did end or when it did start to recover, that that's where the early recovery would come from.
Right. And as you said, right, no industry is spared. There have been job cuts. Even I know with Agoda, you know, 1,500 jobs have been axed, right? But it's inevitable. Now, an op-ed piece by Agoda talks about the future of travel. It's a case of all hands on deck. So let's start with governments. What should they do?
Well, I think the biggest single thing that all governments have to do is to talk to their customers and let their customers know what's going on. The clarity of the story about where you can go and when you can go and how safe it is to go. Because I think the biggest challenge we have as consumers is we have information coming at us from all over the place. I mean, you know what social media is like. It's so hard to tell what's true and what's not true. You've got your uncle on the back fence giving you another bit of advice. So I think that clarity of information and content, that it's now safe to go to this part of your country for domestic travel, that these are the criteria we put in place for cleanliness, these are the rules we've got in place for travel, for being in a restaurant, for being in a bar, for being on the beach. I think that's the number one. And we've been working very closely with governments all around the region on that. I look forward to working with everybody, because I think the number one thing we can do is providing that clarity of information on where to go and how to get.
Right. I know in Malaysia, one of the things that we're looking at is medical tourism, because, you know, our track record of handling the pandemic has been quite good. And so if when it comes to medical tourism, they're going to be arriving in a hospital anyway. So so they'll be stuck there. So that's one thought. Industry players. So, you know, hotels can look at flexible cancellations, but what's that impact on operations?
Yes. I mean, this was the first thing that we did. We rolled out a program. We gave it the brand Easy Cancel. And we said to the hoteliers and accommodation providers, listen, the consumers are spooked. They need to know that they can change their mind on a moment's notice for their own sake, because their economic circumstances may be changing on a moment's notice. For the sake of whatever the rules might be, they may be prohibited from traveling on a moment's notice. So we rolled out Easy Cancel relatively quickly. And I think most of our bookings now are being done under this program. But what's interesting is that's had a couple of factors. One is it's changed a lot of the lead times of bookings.
Mm-hmm.
Consumers now feel very comfortable booking hotels and booking them on good lead times. What it's also done is it's given that sense of a consumer that I can now go and make commitments that I wasn't prepared to make before.
Mm-hmm.
And those commitments are often in quite high-end 4- and 5-star properties. They're looking for something that the family can get a decent break in. So, yeah, we moved very, very quickly with our hotel partner to get Easy Cancel out, and it just gave those consumers a little bit of comfort that if they had to change their minds, they could.
Right, and that option to cancel. In fact, the recent guidelines from the United Nations World Tourism Organization set to help the global tourism sector reopen smoothly and safely emphasize the importance of innovation and technology in building the industry's resilience. So innovation to anticipate these evolving needs is essential, and identifying solutions that prioritize safety and flexibility now during travel downtime will go a long way to rebuilding confidence. So what are some insights and what have you seen?
Well, I think at the moment, everybody right now is in scramble mode.
Mm-hmm.
We, the hoteliers or distribution people like us, we are scrambling to get the basics done. And the basics, as I mentioned, is something like flexibility. The basics is ensuring you have packages that are designed for the domestic traveler and less so for the foreigner. So if you're a hotel that was based on inbound Chinese or inbound Europeans, you've got to just immediately pivot the nature of your business to the fact that it's all domestic. But I do think hoteliers have a rare downtime moment. Now, the downtime makes it sound like it's something they chose to do. Clearly, they didn't choose to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got a downtime moment where there is less demand than usual, where they can start to do technology reviews and technology thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So and some of the areas where I think that'd be interesting is contactless check-in and on-property communication.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the check-in experience of queuing up for 35 minutes and handing over documents and kids getting frustrated and family members getting frustrated. We've got a real opportunity to put some technology in place to get rid of that, not just for that sake, but of course for the health and safety sake of not having to have people crowded in a lobby for all this time.
Right.
And on property communications, I mean, we're all in the world of typing with our thumbs to talk. So why is it we still have to call down to the front desk via a phone, linked to a landline? So I'm excited about those opportunities. I think hoteliers have a chance to use some of this enforced downtime to do a bit of a technology review.
Right.
But right now, for the actual what you do every day, it's a critical scramble just to make sure you've got availability and rates up for this domestic industry.
Right. And that change in innovation is always welcome, pandemic or no pandemic.
Right.
Not milling around in the lobby. Now the traveller. So Agoda's Next Decade survey found that more than 25% of people want to make more eco-friendly travel choices in the next decade. So is that skewed to travellers from certain parts of the world, like European travellers, for example? Or is that overall?
I think that's a uniform trend.
Mm.
One of the challenges often in travel is to translate intent into activity. So consumers often do speak of the things they want to do, and we as an industry have often got to figure out ways to make them able to do that. And interestingly enough, I think domestic travel is a great spurt for that, because when you do that 3-hour drive around people's homes, you are in the ultimate sustainability bubble, right? Because you're in your own hometown or your home neighborhood or your home state or your home province. So being able to trigger, listen, we've got to make this place clean and sustainable and beautiful, has an easier hook to it when you're actually talking about something that is, quote unquote, down the road from your hometown.
Mm.
So I'm really encouraged by that. But I also think it's been driven by this. People have been locked in buildings for enormous periods of time, and they've been locked in big cities, a lot of them. And so the push for the travel that we've seen has been to get out to the forest, to the beach. So, for example, we have not seen people visiting city break hotels the way they normally would.
Right.
Instead, we've been seeing them trying to get to highlands, to beaches, to islands, to get a little break, to get that fresh air, to get out of the big city, out of the big smoke.
All right.
And I think sustainability plays into that.
Okay, so we're talking about the future of travel with Timothy Hughes from Agoda. Stay tuned to Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Before Friday materializes, BFM 89.9.
This is Resource Center and Enterprise. I'm Frida Liu, speaking to Timothy Hughes, Vice President, Corporate Development for Agoda, talking about the future of travel and where are the possibilities moving forward. So one of the things that you was also talked about was an interest in less visited secondary cities, right? And what would be the appeal?
Well, so we, as I said, we knew that domestic was going to be a big thing. So we built a whole campaign around it and we called it Go Local. Because we also knew that transport would be a bit of a challenge, that maybe flights would not be fully operational to the same degree. And we also knew that consumers who had been stuck in their houses, stuck in condo buildings, stuck in large cities, just needed to get out. And that we had a suspicion that the first place they'd want to go would be somewhere quieter or calmer. So we spent time, we drew, as I talked before, this sort of drive, 3.5 hour, 4 hour out of capital cities, places like KL. And if we spread through the region, we did the same in Vietnam and in Thailand, a bunch of other places, where we said, what are those places that consumers want to go? And they told us en masse with their booking behavior and with all the feedback, they wanted to go somewhere where they could just get out of the city. They wanted forests, they wanted mountains, they wanted beaches. And so we had to work with our partners. We kicked off Go Local, both in terms of getting the right rate, so discounts from our hotel partners to make sure we were offering a good deal, but also to tell that story. So we created video content, we worked with key opinion leaders, we pushed out advertising that all told the story about how beautiful the world can be if you get out of your capital city and spend time in the forest or on the beach.
Right. Moving to Malaysia, what has Agoda done to stimulate the growth of the industry in Malaysia? I know like in Thailand, AirAsia and Agoda have announced a partnership to boost domestic tourism. Are we doing a similar initiative in Malaysia?
Sure. We've got a lot of commercial transaction partners that we work with, but the biggest one was this integrated nature of the Go Local campaign. So it had a multi-series of elements to it. Number one, we had to make sure we secured great deals from hoteliers. That was a price thing, sure, but it was also ensuring that they had this flexibility of cancellation rate and ensuring they had availability all the time. As I said, a lot of the decisions being made by consumers are immediate. It's a Friday morning. Things look safe, things look okay, let's go away this weekend. Secondly, we had to spend time on our website making sure we communicated messages that people wanted to hear, messages about which hotels were open, which hotels were accessible, which hotels had followed certain cleanliness standards. And third, we had to talk to the consumers about that. So we had to create video content, we had to find key opinion leaders, we had to message this out to the marketplace to say, your hometown, your home area is beautiful and it's amazing and it's time to travel. So that Go Local campaign had a lot of money spent on it, a lot of product development time spent on it, a lot of working with our partners time spent on it, and a lot of time talking to a series of governments around the world to help communicate that content story that I talked about earlier in our discussion. So that was the biggest one. And we've seen that. We've seen the travelers of Malaysia flocking to the highlands, flocking to Penang, Langkawi, flocking to Kuantan. So we're seeing that travel happening. And we've had to sort of spend time with the Go Local campaign to make sure that everything was ready to catch that demand when the consumers were doing it.
Right. You know, Malaysia is also considering implementing travel bubbles with green status regions in an effort to spur economic growth. So what are your thoughts on this, especially in a situation where this can change overnight, like in Australia? So what are some considerations?
But early on, I got very excited about travel bubbles. I also heard the phrase sort of travel corridor. I think the Singaporeans were calling it green lanes. I got very excited about that. I love the idea. I'm still a little bit nervous about how easy they will be to implement. In my mind, they sort of become almost trade negotiations. You know, it's like a one-on-one country trade negotiation on what it takes for people to come into and out of a country. And so I think that's going to be quite complex. I'm hopeful, but I'm sort of realistic that's going to be quite complex. And we have yet to see sort of large-scale implementation of it yet. So I think we just have to be hopeful but realistic that that may take some time to do, which means for now we've just got to remind ourselves that the travel that's going to be booked tomorrow and next week and the week after is almost certainly going to be only domestic. And so we've got to focus our time and energy on how we can support that, because that's where the demand is right now. And hope for this travel bubble, but sort of ground ourselves on what's going on right now.
Right. You know, I went on holiday last year. That was so long ago. But, you know, one of the things that I did in the holidays was I fitted in a concert and went on a run, you know. So experiential tourism, you know, are we doing anything to make this more, I guess, a little bit more well-planned, you know, whether it's sports tourism or adventure travel, you know, would that be something that will help spur domestic tourism as well?
Well, no, I think we have seen that. I think we have seen that because domestic tourism tends to tends to push you to discover new things about your country. The new things people are discovering tend to be, as I mentioned, on forests and beaches, which do tend to spur people to discover more activity-based things to do. So some of the ground tour operators we talked to, these are the people who run the hiking and the trekking, have talked about them engaging with domestic people for the first time in a long time. That's hard. It's a hard change. If you were a trekking specialist, you know, who was focused on the Chinese inbound market, or a trekking specialist focused on the Australian market, you have to pivot now to focus on domestic. That's hard. But we're seeing that is what people are having to do.
Right. When you look at travel habits, what are some of these changes that you feel will be a permanent change moving forward?
That's a tough, that's a fantastic question. And I think, you know, we're all debating what does the future of travel look like. As I say, we all believe that travel is permanent, that the human desire, the human condition is unstoppable. But we also know that human beings do respond to massive shocks like this and change. So I think there's a couple of things we've seen. I think business travel will have some part of it maybe permanently changed by the Zoom effect, you know, the effect of all of us having gone through this incredible boot camp, training camp of video conference calls. And that could have some permanent effect on business travel, particularly the internal meeting, not the external sales meeting, but where you used to meet up with your colleagues once every 3 months to review business. I think that stuff could have a permanent a change on it. So I think that's the one in which I think I've got my sort of question marks over. As for leisure travel, I believe leisure travel is here to stay. The humans, as I say, every time they saw a mountain, they want to climb it. Every time they saw an ocean, they wanted to swim in it. So I think leisure travel will come back with hopefully maybe a bit more of an emphasis on sustainability.
Right. And I think like with business travel as well, there are cost factors, you know, seeing that what the world is going through economically.
It's true. Like it's true. Even if right now you clicked your fingers and international travel was possible, corporations around the world are so counting every dollar, every ringgit, every baht that they're just not going to jump on airplanes straight away. The cost culture at the moment would hold down business travel even if it was possible.
Right. Any other insights around Malaysia? You know, what you're seeing or what you think will be good for the country?
I suppose there's a couple of other interesting things that we saw. We did see an increase in the use of mobile phones during this period. You know, so I think there's a thing here we've seen in a bunch of markets where, as well as there being a Zoom effect of consumers using and business people using a lot of video conferencing, there has been a digital economy effect of consumers doing a lot more of their economic activity through the phone. And I think that will be long lasting, that consumers have spent 2 or 3 months ordering food, you know, ordering clothes, ordering things through their phone, maybe a little bit the laptops if they have them, but mainly through their phone. And that's been another training camp that consumers have gone through. So I think we'll see a lasting step change in the digitization of the economy, just in the fact that consumers are consuming more and buying more through their phones.
Right. How is Agoda innovating? If you look at, you know, Airbnb, they're trying to have more experiences online. Like, are we doing anything differently out in Agoda?
Sure. Well, mid last year, we launched flights on Agoda. So that was our big expansion into a new product set. Obviously, not a great time to be selling flights now in Q2 and Q3 2020, but we do believe in that product, and we spend a lot of time on that product, and we're invested in that product. We have long had both hotel accommodation and non-hotel accommodation. So coming onto Agoda, you can find hotels on the beach, and you can find villas on the beach, and you can find people's individual holiday homes on the beach. And so we spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to show all of that inventory in one place to consumers. That's taken a lot of product work and a lot of investment in time and energy, but we're happy that that's now an option. The consumers can look on us and see hotel and house options in the same display. So that's a couple of things we've been working on in the last year or so.
Right. Dare I ask you, the crystal ball for 2021?
Oh, boy. Well, here's what I who knows? All I can see, here's what the travel industry is saying to itself. The travel industry saying itself is, all I can do right now is focus on the next 4 to 5 months, the rest of 2020. The rest of 2020 is a domestic industry. Mm. I suspect that that's going to come through into 2021 for at least the first half of it, for sure.
Right.
International, if it comes back, I think is a second half of 2021 story. And I don't know if it even comes back full then. So we just have to acknowledge the world we have around us. But we have to have not just faith, we have to have knowledge that travel is unstoppable and the human desire to travel is unstoppable. It's just going to take a little bit of time for them to go from 2 hours, 3 hours outside of their house to getting on an airplane to going internationally. These things are going to happen in stages. I know that they will happen, but it's going to take time.
Well, can someone just come up with a vaccine, please?
Please, 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 please.
Thanks. Thanks for your time, Tim.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
I've been speaking to Timothy Hughes, Vice President, Corporate Development of Agoda. You've been listening to Resource Center, Frida Liu, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.